Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In ancient Israel, false prophets put lies about God into the minds of God's people. The same is true in our day. They diminish His holiness, exaggerate their goodness, and hide their real motives. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us to Jeremiah 5 and Recognizing False Prophets.
When a nation is in trouble, or when you are in trouble, what you and I really need is a word, a message from God. And we need that message from God for a number of different reasons. First of all, to find out what God is like, to find out what He has planned, and then most assuredly, to plan for the future, to find out what lies ahead. In the ancient city of Judah, this ancient city of Jerusalem, in the land of Judah, I should say, in about 2,600 years ago, 600 BC, there was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was speaking the word very clearly to a nation that had forgotten God. They were worshiping idols, they were into immorality, and they were feeling very comfortable in their sin. And so God anointed Jeremiah and said, "Jeremiah, I want you to be a prophet to the nations." And so he told the people that the Babylonians were going to come and destroy their city, destroy their country, and they had better prepare and they had better repent of their sin. But the people didn't want to hear it. And so what happened is there were plenty of false prophets, false teachers, who said to themselves and to others, "We have a better message than Jeremiah. Jeremiah, all that negativism regarding judgment, we know better than he does." And so Jeremiah had to put up with false prophets. In fact, the false prophets actually ultimately had him thrown into a well. And he was there, persecuted by them. Tell you what I'd like to do in the next few moments, and thanks so much for joining me, is to talk about false prophets from the book of Jeremiah, also using contemporary illustrations, and occasionally going into the New Testament to help us to understand what is going on today. And I'm doing this for a very specific reason. When you're watching television and you see some of these false prophets on television, and not everyone who's on television is a false prophet or a false teacher, but there are many of them, that you will be able to recognize those characteristics and say, "I see that he or she is a false teacher." We need discernment in this day of confusion. Listen to what God said about false prophets of the time, and you can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jeremiah. There's a Bible there in the pew in front of you, and probably if you're in about page 633, somewhere along there, you would find the text that I'm going to be using. But the Lord says this regarding the false prophets: "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall at the time I will punish them, and they'll be overthrown." What strong words to false prophets who healed the wound of their people too lightly. They taught the people that you can solve your own problem. You know, after all, you can do anything that you want to do. You can authenticate yourself. Your sin really is no problem. And so what they were doing is basically putting a bandage over a cancer, thinking that the bandage would be able to heal the deep-rooted sore of the human heart. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you four characteristics of false prophets, then we'll talk about some good news. Now, some of you may say to yourself, well, you know, this doesn't seem very loving. For Jeremiah to make these very strong statements does not seem like the loving thing to do. May I tell you that love always tells the truth. Love always is willing to confront, and that is the most loving thing that you can do. Jeremiah was a prophet who wept. He cried over the sins of the nation and over the things that he foresaw that was coming, the suffering that is absolutely incredible that we will talk about in the next couple of messages. But for now, false prophets. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5, and you'll notice that it says this in Jeremiah chapter 5, and I'm beginning here at verse 12. They have spoken falsely of the Lord, speaking of the false prophets. They have spoken falsely of the Lord and said, he will do nothing, no disaster will come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. Jeremiah's message is wrong. It's too judgmental. It's too negative. That's not going to happen. This is God's evaluation in verse 13. The prophets will become wind. The word is not in them. Thus it shall be done to them. Wow, that's God's view of the false prophets. Very quickly, notice that they diminish the holiness of God. They diminish the holiness of God by saying, the Bible says they speak falsely of the Lord. No disaster will come. God isn't going to judge us. The whole idea of judgment is out of vogue. It's not the kind of thing that you do. As a matter of fact, everybody's going to heaven. In the end, everybody wins. Somebody said that we don't want a father in heaven. What we want is a grandfather in heaven. A grandfather who watches the kids play, and even if they're mischievous, and even if they do wrong things, he enjoys it all, and at the end of the day, he says that a good time was had by all. That's the kind of God we want. So people today go God shopping because they want a God that is made in their image. So they have the God of self-authentication. They have the God of health and wealth. They have the God of my sexual preference. Whatever it is that I want, God becomes that to me. And that's not the biblical God, and God said some harsh things about prophets who say such things. So the first thing is, they, of course, diminish the holiness of God, and they exaggerate the goodness of human nature. They exaggerate the goodness of human nature. They tell humans exactly what they want to hear. By the way, your Bibles are open to chapter 5. Notice what it says here in verse 30. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? The goodness of human nature. You don't have to change. You don't have to confront your sin. It is more important that you be healed than that you be holy. And so people begin to believe that I'm okay, you're okay. You're okay the way in which you are. Somebody said we have cows for milk, we have goats for cheese, we have sheep for wool, and we have God to come along and to confirm all of our desires. That's the kind of God we want. The Bible says that God created man in his own image, and now man creates God in his own image. Whatever I want God to be, that's who God is. And so what you have is the exaltation of human nature. There's a false prophet on television who garners a huge audience, who tells his people things like this: we have been born for earthly greatness. In fact, what you should do is to imagine in your mind prosperity and wealth. And if you have these clearly in your mind, thinking about them and speaking the right words will bring them about. You have power within yourself to do all of these things. Just think it. And so you have the power of positive thinking. No emphasis on sin, no emphasis on the need for forgiveness, nothing like that. All that you need to do is to think it, the power of positive thinking. Now, there is some power in positive thinking. Do you remember that little engine that went up the hill and said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can? All of its optimism probably helped it, but if it got to the top of the tracks and the tracks were washed out, the top of the hill, it wouldn't matter how often it said, I think I can, I think I can. And folks, today, human nature is basically sinful. Now, there's a good part to us, too. We can both do good and evil. You know what Jeremiah says about human nature in chapter 17? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the very next verse is, I, the Lord, try the heart. Do you realize that as you are listening to this message today, that God knows exactly what your thoughts are? He knows exactly what your thoughts were last week, what you thought of this morning. God knows the human heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves, because there are things about us that we don't want to admit. God knows them. My friend, the knowledge of God can be very scary, can't it? When you think of the fact that God knows absolutely everything, the motives of the heart, the intents of the heart, we can be frightened. But at the same time, it is very encouraging. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever been misquoted? Have people made false accusations against you? Isn't it wonderful to know that God knows the truth? And God is the one who surveys the human hearts of the world. He knows everything there is to know about us. That's why the good news of the gospel is so important. And that's why I'm preaching this series of messages entitled The Church in Babylon. And the message that you have just listened to has to do with false prophets. Why do I speak about this? First of all, because Jeremiah speaks about it. But secondly, today when you turn on Christian television, or so-called Christian television, what you'll often find is false prophets who tell us that if we send them seed money, how somehow we're going to be blessed. In fact, there are some that you listen to, you never hear the gospel. Of course, not everyone on television is a false prophet. I thank God for those who are consistent in their message of the gospel to a lost world. But we must be able to discern the difference. A message like this on false prophets, recognizing false prophets, needs to be understood by all believers. That's why in a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. And in the process, I hope that you continue to pray for us, you support us, you give us your heart, so to speak, as you begin to think about these important issues from the book of Jeremiah.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer introducing Recognizing False Prophets, the third message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, the lies false prophets tell. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.